Welcome to Buzz in the Tower, a podcast dedicated to the movies of the 1980s and the 1990s. I am Mo Shapiro, and with me as always, my wingman, my Chappie! Max Sanders. And here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. We're talking about Iron Eagle.
Yeah, I never told you this before. I always have a hard time talking about my feelings, but I want you to know that you've got more courage than anyone I've ever met.
It's true. God only gives us what we can deal with, Max.
The touch.
And I've got the touch. I've got the touch. Max, on the heaping pile of garbage that is films from the 80s, I give you delicious Iron Eagle.
This is top. This is like in the top five of, if you had to show an alien what the 80s were like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, Max. Let me get a few things out of the way. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in 3 weeks.
Yeah. You went to Hawaii.
I went to Hawaii. Can't you tell by my mahogany dark tan that I have?
You look like 2% milk and chalk mixed together.
And that is better than whole milk. Yeah. So I have tanned quite a bit.
Have you really or no?
This is as dark as I get.
Okay.
I was in the sun two straight weeks, 80 degrees all day long, and this is as dark as I'm getting.
What was the most it's like a movie moment?
When we went to, so we were in Kauai, and Kauai is where they filmed Jurassic Park and Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
So like we went on this like ATV adventure and I tried to, it didn't turn out very well.
It's funny.
Thank you, Coster and Max, for doing your best with that video.
Welcome
to Jurassic Park. but it was incredible. It's so choice. If you have the means, I highly recommend going to Hawaii. It was an incredible trip.
Yeah. No college fund for the kids now, right?
No, dude. It bankrupted my family. But we had a great day. Hey, I'll tell you what, that Buzz in the Tower money. Unrelated, Max. I'm going to need $6,000 from you to keep the show going. No, it was great. If you have where are you guys going for your honeymoon?
We're going to Portland, Maine for 4 or 5 days, and then we're doing a Mediterranean cruise later in the summer.
Have you done a cruise before?
Never. Okay. Selena likes them.
Take some Dramamine. I feel like you're going to get seasick.
Okay, cool.
But it's not, you won't be too bad.
I don't mind puking.
That's true. That's good.
My 20s.
Your 20s. Yeah. Your 20s.
Yeah.
Max, welcome to the show. If you've never listened to the show or watched the show, because we are on YouTube.
We are.
Awesome.
Hello.
Leave us a 5-star review. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Definitely review 5-star. And then head on over to youtube.com/@buzzinthetower, BUZZ on the tower. That's where our YouTube channel is, trying to get us to 1,000 subscribers. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you've been really struggling. So if you could get to work on that, that'd be great.
We're moving. We're in the 600s.
I mean, there was a time when the show was, you know, ranked in the country, and now it just...
We're still ranked. What do you mean? We're still in the top 25.
I'd like us to be in the top 10, and I don't know why good is good enough. I'd like great, but whatever. I'll tell you, Chappie wouldn't accept this.
All right.
Doug Masters. You gonna rescue your father? From enemy lines.
You're
with
Joe
good
versus
enough.
Volcano boss.
Oh man,
can he do the job?
I don't.
But he get the job.
I don't often rewatch our full episodes, but because I had an 8-hour flight there, an 8-hour flight back, and I just was out of town. I actually rewatched our Joe versus the volcano, and what I've learned is, and this is my weakness, not yours. Mm. When I love a movie and you're lukewarm about it, I come in hot. I'm mad at you. Like I can't stomach.
People agreed with you. I got a lot of responses about how much they loved Joe versus the Volcano and how much it meant to them.
I'm going to defend you, though. Yeah. I do think that this is just you're cryogenically frozen in a time in your life where certain things are never going to be appreciated the same way. And if I was back in that part of my life, my early 20s, which you seem to refuse to leave, I don't know that I would appreciate it as much. So I understand that. That makes sense to me. And like the Goonies is a great example. Like you never can sink your teeth into the Goonies.
Yeah.
But like you didn't have that core memory group of six buds from like middle school that you took with you like 20 years, which I don't even recommend doing. It can be quite dangerous and expensive. And they all owe me money. But I do get that like that life experience is different. Whereas... Yeah. You can watch a movie like Cocktail, so can I, but you in particular, and be like, all right.
Yeah, peach schnapps.
Like, you love
bar poetry.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Get Elizabeth Shue pregnant.
Elizabeth.
Dude. I had to go.
And she's rich.
I love Elizabeth
Score.
Shue. Let's get her on the show. What do you do for the show? Get her on the show.
She seems cool, too. She had, like, a bunch of brothers.
She's the best, dude.
Yeah.
The best.
The best.
Around. Nothing will ever keep her away from me.
Iron Eagle.
I'm sorry, Iron Eagle. Oh, also, patreon.com/buzzinthetower and our website, buzzinthetower.com. Today, we're talking about Iron Eagle, which we really did out of respect and RIP the great Louis Gossett Jr.
Yes.
He is... I almost feel like we did a small disservice in picking Iron Eagle to be the way to remember him, because he's been in quite a few other movies that...
So An Officer and a Gentleman is too much of a serious movie, right?
I know, but it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
And he's great in it.
He won the Best Supporting Actor Award. He's the first African-American to win one.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Firewalker?
With Chuck Norris?
And Sonny Landham.
Yeah. Years and years
ago. It seems
years
like it would be an awesome, like, us movie.
You should probably watch it.
Yeah. Enemy Mine is weird.
I like Enemy Mine.
He gives birth.
I know.
He's the first male to give birth in a movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And then Junior.
Junior.
Yeah,
but this is before that.
I know.
Yeah.
Thus him being first. Yeah. Continue.
The principal rules, too. Oh, Toy Soldiers freaking rocks.
Yeah, he is really good in Toy Soldiers.
He's the father figure for, like, people that don't have the father figure.
Every time we do an episode, I always mention, and I can never remember how you phrase it, the market correction of two actors.
What, Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman.
He's more rough and tumble. You know what I mean? Like,
he's
athletic. He's intense.
Morgan Freeman was up for this role.
Morgan Freeman's more like calm and like kind of a like a Buddha.
Morgan Freeman fit into.
I guess they didn't deliver.
Look, think about Lean on Me, right? Seven.
Yeah,
he was.
He's methodical in that.
I know. He's great in Seven.
Yeah, Lou Gossett Jr. is more energetic. Do you know he was drafted by the New York Knicks?
No.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I'm sure you have tons and tons.
He was 6'4". I didn't realize how big he was either.
Big guy.
Yeah,
big guy. Who did you tell me about the other day? Oh, no, it wasn't the other day. I was re-listening to the episode. You were talking about Meg Ryan has size 11 shoes and she's 5'10".
Yeah.
And I was like, I reheard that. I was like, God, like that is.
She's got some big tootsies.
Yeah, but not just that, but like for 5'10", like that's really tall.
She's only 5'8", actually.
Oh, I thought she said she was 5'10".
5'8".
Go back and check my notes.
Tarantino would love her with her big feet.
I know. Tarantino's. Jaws 3D. That's another.
Was that good? I never saw it.
Dude, you have to watch it.
It's
garbage, but.
Do you put on 3D glasses while you watch it?
Yeah.
Now?
I think you have. No.
Okay.
You can get it in 3D, but like it won't just naturally. You know what? Yes. Yes, you do. Let me get you a pair of 3D glasses. You'd be ready to roll.
Oh, by the way, someone gave us a random review online. This guy, Richard Feliciano. He said.
That sounds like you are mispronouncing his name.
Feliciano.
There, that's better.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So he said,
I hope it was a good review because you just slapped him with a knife.
Well, first of all, he said, we need to review Rad, and you're wearing the Rad shirt.
God. Max, thank you. A shout out to our sponsors at 80stees.com. I'm wearing, of course, my Rad shirt. Max, you're representing no one, apparently, except
every city in the world.
Good God.
My mom bought me this.
Oh, presh.
And my jeans and my hat.
And my cell phone bill.
Yeah, well.
Continue.
No, it's so funny. My mother-in-law was like, oh, so your mom bought you a shirt. That's nice. I'm like, is there any other way for you to buy clothing? I don't buy clothing. My mom just sends me stuff.
I hope Selena's ready for the nightmare that's going to be taking care of you.
She doesn't need to take care of me. I take care of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Emotionally, but like on a practical sense, who's going to buy your clothes?
I've been being by myself and taking care of business.
I'm a big kid now.
I've been taking care of business for 20 years. It's the Always Sunny interview. Yeah.
I know.
I've been in charge of most of the stuff in my life.
Your business is a lemonade stand, just FYI.
By the way, do you know there was an actor in this movie that directed 5 episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
What?
Yeah.
Who?
Styles.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I love that Styles is in this movie. It's incredible to me. Oh, God.
He directed Always Sunny.
All right. What were you talking about before you diverted off of this?
My shirt?
The review, you buffoon.
Oh, yeah.
my shirt?
So Richard Feliciano said... Really like these guys, love their energy, but it's frustrating how they talk over each other and...
What?
And they have no structure to their podcast.
All right.
We just defined it.
Let's just relax on the no structure. How about limited structure?
Yeah. Well, we need bits.
We got bits. I got bits.
Do we?
Yeah, like Max's Gatorade bit.
Why are you making fun of my bottle?
Because like,
it was $10 online.
I would rather have you come in here wearing like a headband. Oh. And be like, yeah, I'm a sports guy.
It just keeps my water cold.
Whatever. What happened to your other bottle? Did you lose it or break it?
This is gross.
I don't want to know. Forget it. You're good.
I just had black mold.
Max, God. Yeah, but you're winning. You're taking care of yourself real good.
Yeah.
You're taking care of business, Max Sanders, with black mold. How long had it been since you'd washed your water bottle?
Reagan administration. Like it was.
Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. You're not prepared to take care
of yourself.
I didn't
realize stainless steel needed to be cleaned repeatedly.
Repeatedly or ever?
Both. Doesn't water clean things?
Doesn't water clean things.
I put 2 squirts of soap in my water. It's like a Crystal Light packet.
Can we talk about Iron Eagle now? Yeah. Are we ready to talk about Iron Eagle?
It's like the Cornball 80s Trash Panda Deluxe.
Deluxe. Iron Eagle synopsis. Let's give it a good old synopsis. Colonel Ted Masters. Look, you got to give him credit for the names in this. Doug Masters and Ted and Masters and Masters. When Colonel Ted Masters, played by Tim Thomerson, it's Thomerson.
Oh.
It's not Thompson.
Thomerson sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong, but it says Thomerson.
Are you sure?
No, but it says Thomerson.
Look at this up.
His plane goes down in an Arab country. By the way, that is about as descriptive as you're going to get.
Yeah.
They don't want to ruffle any feathers. Yeah. They make it very clear that it's in the Middle East. A lot of people in head wraps, but they don't.
In their defense, in the new Top Gun, they didn't name the country either.
I know. Different reasons. I don't know what was going on here.
Because they stole from Iron Eagle.
I guess. I don't know. In an Arab country, and he's sentenced to death for trespassing. His 18-year-old son, Doug, played by Jason Gedrick, is determined to save him. Unfortunately, Doug isn't the best fighter pilot. He wasn't accepted into the Air Force because he needs to listen to music in order to hit his target.
It's messing up my rhythm.
Let me finish. So he enlists the help of Colonel Chappie, played by Louis Gossett Jr., to borrow a couple F-16 planes and fly across the Atlantic and start a rescue mission. I'm going to make some bold claims about this movie. I'm going to really put some things out there for you.
What, Don Simpson was high when he made this?
No, is this Don Simpson?
No, but it feels like it.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. When you watch it, it feels like Jim Henson when you watch it. So let's go back a second. There's one fact about this movie that summarizes to me the biggest plot issue in this film. The U.S. government was all about supporting these kinds of movies, a la Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like the recruiting for the Air Force was the highest it ever was.
400%.
Yeah, because of Top Gun. Yep. The Air Force backed out of supporting this movie because of how easy they made it look to acquire 2 F-16s and hack.
Kids are spilling sodies to get
and they're
like,
oh yeah, oh, you should go really take a look at that. I'll keep look on your computer. Hack. I'm a hacker. And they're like, you're making it look a little too easy to trick the U.S. government.
It felt like he was saying, I'm a hacker.
It's unbelievable. So they're like, we're good. And so Israel picked up the slack and decided to help them make this movie.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
And then Israel almost shot down 2 of their planes. Did you see that?
Yeah, Max.
Do you have a cluster headache?
I have to first make a confession. This is one of those movies where prior to rewatching it, I could tell you what it's about. I remember the scenes. But when I rewatch it, I'm like, this is for sure the first time I've watched this movie start to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because one of the facts about this movie, you would ask, why did they make an Iron Eagle 2? Why did they make an Iron Eagle 3? The commercial success, the commercial success that these films had in the film rental industry, the blockbuster industry, and also being broadcast on TV.
Yeah.
They were so popular. That's why they kept getting made. And that's why this became somewhat ingrained as a part of my childhood, is I remember it always being on TV and I'd always catch it. And I just never watched the whole movie.
There's a place for movies like these. These are rewatchables.
Rewatching this movie. This is a terrible movie.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It's fun. It suffers from the syndrome of trying to be too many things.
It's like Three Ninjas, but with the airplanes.
Well, let me give you a few movies and tell me if this all... First of all, you have a little bit of like BMX rad.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. It's the 80s. So like, let's just have a BMX... like
the motorcycle,
motorcycle racing thing,
yeah,
right?
That was cool.
All right, I need you to stay with me here. I know that you like flashy lights, but get bigger on this with me. Like,
okay.
As far as how it was... like, let's look at The Karate Kid.
Yep.
So at the beginning of The Karate Kid, I love how you don't
not enough karate.
You have a conflict that you see exist between Johnny and LaRusso.
Yeah.
And that's why the dirt bikes and everything fit into it. And that conflict strings itself out over a period of time. In this film, you have an initial conflict and it goes away.
Yeah.
There's never any more conflict that was irrelevant to any of the story.
Well, he punched him, and that was it.
He punched him.
When you punch a bully once, that's how they die, right? They explode.
So you have that. You have generally poor acting by everyone in this film, except for Chappie, who is a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't even know this Doug Master gentleman. What else did he do?
He was in one episode of Justified.
Yeah. You know, I'm being too negative. I actually really liked watching this movie. It's just so bad.
And it's got a borderline, arguably, Vision Quest-esque soundtrack.
Yeah, but
it's good. What do you mean? It's like Tina Turner and Queen and Quiet Riot. You know, wait, no, Dee Snider, Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
we're not gonna
What's it called? Dio. It's got a ton of stuff. Give me some lovin'. It's got James Brown.
Do you know that "Give Me Some Lovin'" song has appeared in so many movies?
Yeah, it feels like one of those songs. It's like, what's that?
Like the Blues Brothers?
Like the Vietnam song, "Red, White, and Blue." You know that one?
No. Mm-mm.
It's Fudge.
Fudge, you say?
It's the song from Forrest Gump about Vietnam.
Yeah.
Don't make me feel like a jerk.
I don't know what it is. Just,
you know the song.
It ain't me.
Yeah.
It ain't me. I knew what it was the whole time. I was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
I just was like, red, white, and blue. What
you
is that even?
Jerk.
America.
You really needed to do that?
I did. Oh, I'm a horrible person. So
welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Here I am. Iron Eagle, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I will say this. What was really fun for me and what I uncovered in rewatching this is, you know that I am obsessed with Cobra Kai, which the new season comes out this summer. The last season, I think, comes out this summer.
I didn't catch up. I'm still 2.5 seasons behind.
Oh, my God. It's so good. So I don't know if you remember this or not, but in the opening season of Cobra Kai, the first episode of Cobra Kai, I remember watching it. It was on YouTube Red or whatever.
Yeah, it was on YouTube.
And I got my subscription to like Red or whatever because of this. Mm. And I'm like, this is incredible. And that first episode, it's got everything from like hair metal playing in his, you know, Pontiac Firebird.
He's drinking Coors Banquet.
Dude, I'm like, this is literally, I remember sitting down watching me like, those geniuses. I have been so disappointed by Hollywood so many times. And in that first episode, he's pouring like liquor into his beer can, getting wasted, watching Iron Eagle, watching the Iron Eagle scene where Chappie, the tape recording, like, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. You got the touch, which, I know we talked about this on our Transformer episode.
Sam Bush.
I'm just going to throw this out there because we're talking about Iron Eagle. I'm going to look right at the camera. If you don't know this, you're going to be excited by this. The song by Sam Bush, You've Got the Touch, which is in Transformers the movie. Sam Bush wrote that and was inspired by the Iron Eagle scene where Chappie on the audio tape is like, You've Got the Touch, which is
incredible,
amazing. So Johnny Lawrence in Cobra Kai is watching this. He's having his own flashbacks of Karate Kid 1, which is amazing. I could watch that all day long. Additionally, in season 2 of Cobra Kai, he gets on online dating apps. Do you remember that episode? I don't know if you remember this or not, but it's like he's filling it out, and it's like, what are your likes? What are your dislikes? His likes, he lists Iron Eagle 1, Iron Eagle 2. So for the longest time, I was kind of like, I just thought it was like a basic tip of the hat to the 80s. Then watching Iron Eagle, I'm like, I recognize a few people here and some I didn't, but this is wild to me. So Tommy, who in The Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid, was played by Rob Garrison. He's the get him a body bag kid, right? So Tommy is in Iron Eagle. He's part of Notcher's gang of like BMX bike racers or whatever.
He's in Cobra Kai too, right? Because he's dying.
Right? Yeah. He comes back as well.
I thought that was a nice tip of the hat because he actually did have cancer and they did it as like a goodbye thing for him.
Similar to what they did in Maverick with Val Kilmer.
That
was very cool. Jerry, who's played by Larry B. Scott, who for the rest of my life is always Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds.
He's great in this movie, I feel like. He has dance moves.
Don't forget, he's a part of Cobra Kai in Karate Kid. He's one of the Cobra Kai. He doesn't have any like real lines or anything, but he's there. Yeah.
You know, he's only 5'4".
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
He seems bigger.
So he's an Iron Eagle as well. There's a third guy who you'll never know who this is, but thanks to the internet, I was able to research this. So now we have three guys that were in The Karate Kid that made their way to Iron Eagle, which makes the tip of the hat even more fun, the Easter egg even more fun. So this guy, his character's name was Alan in The Karate Kid. He was played by Tom Fridley. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Okay. So remember when LaRusso first meets Freddy? Is it Frank or Freddy?
Freddy.
And they all go down to the beach and they're playing soccer. And like, he's like, oh, you know, that Freddy's like, oh, I think that blonde's checking you out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, maybe not. And some guy says, maybe he ain't got no moves where he comes from. And LaRusso's, well, I'm going to tell you why I'm Travolta. And the guy, LaRusso says, oh, I got moves. And he kicks the soccer ball to Allie.
Kicks her in the face.
I know, right? Don't you talk that way about her. So the guy who says, oh, maybe he ain't got no moves. Hot jeez. That guy is Tom Fridley or whatever the hell his name is, I said, and plays Alan. He is Travolta's nephew.
Oh, my God.
He also is the third of the gang of bad dudes and the BMX racers and da-da-da in Iron Eagle.
Oh, wow.
So that is your three-player kind of Passover or whatever. Passover?
Almost Passover. Yeah.
L'chaim. So I think that's why you get the Cobra Kai tip of the hat. That probably is the most interesting part about Iron Eagle for me. I'm not going to lie, but I'm sure you have more facts.
I mean, the craziness of the fact that they get to steal all these planes and the fact that it's so badly edited. So there's a ton of scenes where it's like, oh, we got two MiGs and they show four MiGs.
Yeah.
Or they're...
Yeah, the numbers don't add up. No, no. I noticed that too.
Or they're in mid-fight and they show like a clip of one of the airplanes and the landing gear is down still. Yeah. So it makes no sense.
Sure, why not?
The Hades missile, you know, the big thing with all the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
They show it still being on the plane after they've fired it.
How about
continuity stuff is just terrible.
Do you remember which James Bond movie was it where they had the tankers of gasoline that had the cocaine in them?
Oh, it's...
Is it The Living Daylights or License to Kill?
It's License to Kill.
Okay, do you remember in License to Kill... How like there's a huge fire and how the way that James Bond gets through it is he pops a wheelie in the truck to get through the fire. And then after that, a Jeep goes through it and like goes through the fire and they all burn up and die.
Yeah.
That was cool. This movie, the fire doesn't even seem that intense. And like if anything goes through it, it immediately explodes and flips over on its side. I'm just like, yeah, that's too much for me. All right. So the character of Colonel Chappie was inspired by the real-life Air Force. This is actually really cool. General Daniel Chappie James Jr., General Chappie James. Sorry, I'm saying this a million different times. He was a member of the all-black Tuskegee Airmen.
Yep.
So I thought that was a cool little fact about the film.
Yeah, and he was the first black star. Oh, not black star. First four-star black general.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like black star.
Yeah, black star sounds cool. World star.
This is kind of interesting, too, and I'm sure you have the numbers on this, but was Iron Eagle's budget more than Top Gun's budget?
No. No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I want you to Google it because I read somewhere that it was.
You're wrong.
Google it for me.
Well,
come on, sugar cake.
First of all, Top Gun's budget was, what's
you
it called?
You won't Google it.
No, it's $10 million for Iron Eagle.
Hold on a second.
You think Top Gun cost less than $10 million? Top Gun's budget was subsidized by the Air Force.
Just relax. Top Gun's budget was $15 million.
Yeah, but it was subsidized by the Air Force.
I understand that, sugar. Just give me a minute, all right? Like,
okay.
Iron Eagle.
$10 million.
Budget. Yeah, so this leads to my point. It wasn't more. You're correct.
Yeah.
But my point is that it is...
You already stated that the Air Force dropped out of this movie, so they didn't support it.
I understand.
The Air Force gave everything to Top Gun.
I just take a deep breath. Are you taking a deep breath? Here's my point. If you ever question the value of a director and a cinematographer, look at these two movies. They came out at the exact same time, essentially.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Iron Eagle came out before Top Gun.
Well, they were going to come out together, and
they didn't want to compete.
Yeah. I think they should have came out after. People were like into Air Force movies after that.
Maybe.
Right?
The difference between the two films is staggering. It's the difference between watching like an art house film versus a Tarantino film for me.
Yeah, Top Gun's still campy.
I know, but the quality.
Yeah.
Tony
Scott rules.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And I don't even know who this director is. I didn't do any research.
He probably directed Rick Astley's second video.
Gotta give you up.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So
gotta
this
make
is,
you cry.
here's a wild fact, a connection point between Top Gun and Iron Eagle. During the snake scene, you know, the snake racing, which was so unnecessary, whatever.
It was cool.
It was unnecessary,
50
Max.
50 feet is so low.
So unnecessary. He's racing a guy in a bike, whatever.
Well, also, it introduces you to Chappie as, like, this mysterious guy who's actually watching over Doug.
Hey, you make excuses for this all you want. It was unnecessary. Anyways, Doug Masters races his Cessna 150 against a motorcycle. It was driven by Notcher. The pilot of the Cessna 150 Aerobat was a renowned aerobatic pilot, Art Scholl.
Yeah.
Does that name ring a bell to you?
He's the guy that died in Top Gun.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
With the spin out. Yeah. Yeah.
Sad.
Crazy. It is sad.
I mean, I guess it's better that he died in Top Gun than he died in Iron Eagle.
Yeah. So it's he's remembered better because
do you really want to be like, yeah, I died in the motorcycle race scene of
what would be the most funny movie to die in, like
Hot Shots.
Leprechaun.
No, Hot Shots. Leprechaun. Jesus Christ.
What's like a really embarrassing movie?
I'm the Leprechaun.
Maniac Cop.
Yeah, that'd be a weird one.
Die on Alien would be creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Max, continue. What do you got?
Some of the aircrafts were mistaken in Lebanon by Israeli Air Force.
Somebody say steak?
Now you got me all excited.
Sorry.
That was Michael Clark Duncan.
I know. I remember.
No, it wasn't.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Just some big guy.
All right, I thought it was.
Actually, it might be.
I thought it was.
No way.
Nobody has any idea. This is the review that we got where like these two guys can't pay attention. Now we're talking about Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo,
can we do
and
Deuce
nobody.
Can we do
absolutely, we can do Deuce. Okay. Is that a 90s film?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to bleep this out, Coster. That's a huge bitch.
It's such a dumb movie.
He
breaks an aquarium.
Can we get back to Iron Eagle?
Sure. So in Lebanon, the Israeli Air Force mistake some of the planes in this movie for actual enemy aircrafts.
Yeah.
They're halfway to destroying them when they send out like an SOS, like, don't
Jesus
kill us.
Christ. We're just making a bad movie. Let us live. We talk about Morgan Freeman auditioned for the role of Chappie. So Emilio Estevez, who I think would have been amazing. I would have a different opinion about this movie if Doug Masters was played by Emilio Estevez. There are some really weird scenes where, like, Doug Masters' mom is, like, lightly brushing his cheek with her hand. And there's, like,
grooming's going on.
Some weird sexual tension between a mother and her son. And I'm like, what is going on in this movie right now? It's just none of it makes sense.
Or that the little brother is pretending he's a junior. And
do you know that little brother has been in a ton of stuff?
Really?
Oh, God. Like Charles in Charge. Like,
oh, okay.
He's always, like the side kid. You know? By the way, that's another thing, too. Max, I know I'm beating this movie up. We're going to get letters on this because there are people that ride hard for this film. But I just like there's little things that drive me nuts. He gets out of his high school graduation. And that's when his mom in the parking lot decides to say,
your dad's
going to die.
He's going to hang
him. They're going to hang him. And I wanted to wait until we were around all these people to tell you. And
no, but culturally, this movie is very impactful. I don't know if you've ever read the book Armada. It's by the Ready Player One guy.
Okay.
And it's kind of like The Last Starfighter, like a video game can save the world, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's code name for his video game is the Iron Beagle.
Ooh.
So he's like, because it's his favorite movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching this movie. I think I should probably ease off a little bit on being a film critic.
Well, no, it makes you feel like, I feel like our buddy Timmy from Tennessee, I feel like.
Timmy!
By the way, congratulations to him. He's got 500,000 Instagram followers now.
Ooh,
isn't that crazy?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
If only we had someone who was working on our stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue. Timmy, call me.
Can't win. But I feel like it's a movie he would watch to kind of like reclaim the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll say this much. When you're watching Iron Eagle, you suspend a lot of reality to enjoy it.
Yeah. The clubhouse, like they have a clubhouse. Like
Max.
The fact that on an Air Force base, he could kind of do what he wanted. He had a Mustang. He was speeding
this
in there.
This movie, right? Let me talk about here's the tropes that this movie has.
Yeah.
Okay. This movie has the BMX racing, which we see in movies about like the skiing down the hill.
Yeah.
This is what South Park made fun of, right? Like the 80s ski lodge. Like we're going to Snake Hill.
Yeah.
So you've got that trope.
Yep.
Okay. You've got the, you know, got to show my dad that I can do it trope.
Yep.
You've got the get the gang together and the kids are going to
pull a
Goonies.
Mini heist.
You got the Goonies. Yeah. Not even mini heist. I won't even give it. I'm not giving it heist credit because it doesn't deserve. How about Space Camp?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of kids somehow find their way onto a NASA rocket and they're flying to the moon.
That's a great movie.
Right. You've got the Karate Kid mentor aspect of it.
Yep.
Right. The Miyagi, LaRusso,
the
Chappie Masters piece of it. Right.
Yep.
You've got the America part of it. Right.
Or we destroy other countries.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Like it squeezes. You've got.
He destroys the oil refinery.
You've got prom.
Yeah.
You've got like my girlfriend who is being clearly harassed by these three guys. Like, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And you've got the, you know, he drives a red Mustang and he lives by his own
rules.
And
the Walkman. Yeah.
Oh, he straps to his thigh?
Yeah.
That's his, like, there's no arm thing. He's got a big, like, looks like a prosthetic leg that he's listening
cool.
to this music.
Yeah.
And he does it his own way.
That was one of my memorabilia things I wanted was the Walkman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot crammed into this.
And the
film.
Fact that no one lets him listen to the Walkman while he's flying $1 million planes.
Yeah. I mean,
well, like dogfighting seems like very difficult and inefficient. Like you run out of gas, you only have a certain amount of missiles. It's like we're not meant to be in the sky flying that fast, destroying each other, right?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like every movie, it's like, oh, I'm out of gas, or oh, it's like
fuel. Fuel is the word you're looking
for.
Yeah. Gas is gasoline.
Okay.
Fuel is what you put inside of.
All right, Copernicus.
I'm just trying to help you. Yeah. You're Copernicus. Oh, man.
James Spader was considered for Notcher.
Oh, man.
That would have been great.
That would have been wild.
Oh, Chevy Chase was considered for Colonel Masters. He would have been good.
I don't know, dude. I mean, what is Chevy Chase's most serious role ever?
Funny Farm?
Isn't that wild? Of all of this, I mean, I'm sure he's been in something that we're just not aware of, but has he ever been in a serious role?
God. No, he's always a goober.
By the way, speaking of serious roles, the guy who plays his dad, Doug Masters' dad.
Yeah, Tom Thomerson. Yeah. Tim Thomerson.
So he is in, there are two people in this movie that are also in Who's Harry Crumb?
Yeah.
He's in this. And then remember when the gang is getting together and they're tricking all the military people? Remember how there's two daughters that are like distracting their dad?
Isn't she the pregnant chick from
Summer School?
Yeah.
God, I love you so much.
Yeah.
I love that you knew that. So she also, she is.
She's also the
girl who works with John Candy in Who's Harry Crumb.
She's great.
Yeah. And then the dad, Masters, is the tennis pro who's having the affair.
Yeah.
And who's Harry's Crumb.
And he's also the crazy guy in
Cherry 2000.
Well, that and Volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
He's a blonde.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, as much as you dislike this movie, the cast is unbelievable.
The cast is when the Lions sucked.
Yeah.
And they went poaching second stringers from other teams. They put a it's the replacements. That's what this cast is.
Miles and Miles of Heart.
Miles and Miles of Heart. Yeah. Don't tell me about how the cast is great. It's freaking Styles from...
Styles? That's from, an...
American Werewolf in London. Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Jesus. American Werewolf in London. Yeah.
It's great. This movie's fun.
Yeah. This is a Max movie for sure.
Yeah. Although the last 40 minutes, it's a lot of fighting. Like,
a lot of like not really well choreographed fighting.
No, you don't know what's going on.
Oh, by the way, and the tropes. I'm sorry. Can I add more to the tropes?
Yeah.
You've got some Rambo 3, like the bad guy also is going to fly the chopper.
Yeah. Get out and give me a flight.
He's like, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your imitation was spot on. Come here. Hey, you. Hey, Terrence here. Terrence and Philip, Canadian actors. Again, we're going to need a few more bleeps here, Costa. Shut your f-ing face, Uncle. F-er.
You don't need to sleep and mow the lawn. F your uncle all day long.
America. F- yeah. A lot of bleeps on this show. Iron Eagle brings out the man in me, the toughness.
There's a lot of swearing in this movie.
I don't even know how to. I don't even know where to go. I'm running out of facts. All right, what else do you have, Max?
So Lou Gossett Jr. So died at 87.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah, he felt like he was 50 for like a long time. You know what I mean? Like he has that Morgan Freeman kind of quality to him.
Yeah. So Digstown, it came out in 92.
Okay,
you got to watch.
Okay,
it's actually really good. So this movie, and I haven't seen it in years, but James Woods is kind of like this like hustler. And he goes into a town very much like Roadhouse type scenario where like there's one evil dude who has control over the whole town.
Yeah.
And Louis Gossett Jr. is a boxer and he makes a bet that he can fight like 20 people in a row, but they all have to be residents of the town.
Okay.
So like they prep for this whole thing and it's like him boxing like 20 people in a row.
That's awesome.
And it's a wild, wild movie.
It's a great like plot for a movie.
Yeah. Wow. It's no Iron Eagle, but it's good. I mean, you gotta trust me when I say it, you gotta watch it.
Don't you get emotional when Chappie dies? And they do the he's dead, but he's not dead thing.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you seen that in a movie outside of Artax?
Yeah.
It was a little confusing because.
Wait, it doesn't happen often, you're saying?
I was thinking about that too. Like, does it happen as often as we think? How many times is there the surprise you're not dead?
Oh, God.
Right.
They
exist.
The guy from Seven. Oh, God, he's still alive.
Oh, Jesus, Max. That's really good.
Got me in the first half.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Anyways, we'll move on. We're just going to move on.
All right, Lou Gossett Jr., he had 212 roles. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you watch the new Watchmen series?
I did.
Yeah, he's the older version.
He was the grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Did they ever make a second season to that? I watched this.
No, it was a one-off.
Oh, okay. Because it was really good. I was kind of hoping that they would do more.
It was supposed to be just one.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah. But he was married three times. I noticed a lot when I do the research for these things. Famous actors get divorced a lot.
Sure.
It's kind of a bummer.
Well, like, when you have options.
I guess. It's just like, you would think, I don't know, you'd want to find peace and happiness.
Selena's safe.
Well, yeah.
You don't have a lot of options.
No.
No.
Yeah, I only work at a college bar with thousands of women.
Yeah, no, I know the first thing that a college-bound woman wants to do is marry the bartender who's been in the hometown for 30 years.
Forget that degree
and success. I'm not going to New York for that internship. Give me the old balding bartender. Yeah.
Do you know what?
All right.
You know an officer
fired on you so poorly.
It did.
It did.
Never build myself up because you'll tear me down.
He's 6'4", or he was 6'4".
I said that.
Did you?
He's still 6'4". He's just horizontal.
Weird. Oh, that's weird. Super weird. Thanks.
Officer and a Gentleman, he got the role because Jack Nicholson turned it down.
I know, that's nuts.
It's crazy.
I don't think Jack Nicholson would have been as good.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? It's another Air Force movie. Like,
Those are super popular.
Why don't we make them anymore?
We just did. Maverick.
Yeah, but like, besides that.
Well, let's reboot Iron Eagle.
Seriously. Iron Beagle. Iron Schmeagle.
Let's take
Lord of the Rings.
What's the name of the dog that plays basketball for those?
Air Bud.
Let's have a version of Air Bud called Iron Beagle.
Yeah.
Same idea, except his owners are lost and they've been kidnapped by some Middle Eastern country. One beagle has to go and save his owners.
You say this like it's not an option. The Winnie the Pooh horror movies are making $4 million, $100,000.
I haven't seen it, but it looks
Terrible.
It looks amazing.
Blood and Honey.
Blood and Honey. The Max Sanders story.
You know what's funny? Because they didn't agree to allowing them to do it, they can't do anything. Like, he can't say, oh, bother.
Oh, bother.
Or have, like, a pot of honey.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is it Pillsbury Doughboy?
Oh, bother.
Why'd you do the Pillsbury Doughboy, Google?
I don't know. Hee hee. Why does that make you laugh is the better question.
I don't know.
All right, Max, you want to talk about who's in this movie?
Yeah, well, Lou Gossett attended Woodstock. He co-wrote the song Handsome Johnny with Richie Havens. And he was on Broadway. He won a daytime Emmy. I don't know. He's just kind of like, he's an actor's
very
actor.
Very decorated career.
Yeah. So I just give him props. And like, he won a Golden Globe. He won an Emmy, like I said. And also, by the way, The Principal and The Punisher were really good movies that are underrated. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Principal?
I've not.
So it's Jim Belushi as like a principal.
It's one of those movies like I'm tacitly aware of. But
it's like The Substitute ripped it. You know,
John Lovitz. Do you remember that movie that he's
in? High School High.
Yeah. That I've seen.
That's directed by Hart Bachner, who's
Hans Booby. Yeah. Like, I don't know who Hart Bachner is. Come on.
Jason Gedrick played Doug Masters.
Yeah.
His first role was as an inmate in Bad Boys, which you need to see.
I need to see it.
It's incredible.
Did you watch L.A. Story? Because when I was re-listening to the episode, you were taxed with doing.
Yeah.
So.
He was an extra at the party in Risky Business.
Okay.
So I thought that was cool.
Sure.
Born on the 4th of July, Backdraft. By the way, he's in on 10 episodes of Dexter, and you're like the Dexter expert. He was George Novikoff.
I have no idea.
Do you want to look it up, see if you recognize him? I'm curious.
God, Max, I have no memory of this.
Huh.
He was the owner of the strip club. Seven or eight seasons of Dexter? I don't remember.
I mean, you're the Dexter expert.
I am.
I stopped after the Trinity Killer.
God, that was good.
That was the best.
Lithgow was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy he didn't get like caught beforehand. He's a little psychotic with his family.
All right, back to Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Larry B. Scott, like you said, Reggie, Karate Kid, Lamar in Revenge of the Nerds. He's Rudy in Space Camp. Really good in Space Camp. And this is kind of important to my memory as a kid. Diablo 2, which was one of my favorite games, he was the voice of the Paladin. And I was always the Paladin.
Oh. Well,
so I thought that was kind of neat.
That means nothing to me. But.
Yeah. Jerry Levine played Tony. He's Styles from Teen Wolf.
Ted Levine?
No.
Oh, good. If your eagle's iron.
He has a wild role in this movie called Out of Bounds. You ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's Anthony Michael Hall, and he's like kind of on the run, and someone's trying to murder him. And Jerry Levine's playing like a street hustling pimp, and he's just like out of his mind crazy.
His best role ever is obviously Styles in.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was also really good as the kind of jerky friend in Born on the 4th of July. Remember he owns like the burger shop?
That's right.
Yeah. But kind of cool too. He directed Boy Meets World, like 5 episodes of that.
Mm-hmm.
He married CBS Entertainment president Nina Tassler. So he upgraded.
Good for him.
Yeah, right?
That's one of those relationships that'll stick.
And he does they've been married actually the
that's
whole
what
time.
I'm saying,
yeah. And he just directed a bunch of CSI shows. He did Monk, Twilight Zone. Like I said, Always Sunny. So, like, he's had a decent directing career. It reminds me of like Keith Gordon, who became a really good director after, you know, all his stuff in the 80s.
Well, he really peaked at Back to School.
And yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do after that.
Well, no, dude, Dressed to Kill.
I'm a melon.
Dressed to Kill is a Brian De Palma movie.
Sorry, dude. You're not going to top.
Christine.
You're not going to. I understand. You can inflect your voice all you want. that ain't no Back to School.
Yeah, Back to School's great.
Come on.
Everyone loves Back to School.
Everyone. It was one of our highest rated episodes we ever did when we did Back to School. People lost their minds. They're like, oh, the triple Lundy.
Lindy.
Hi, I get no respect.
True, Lindy.
Whatever, Max.
But so Milo,
don't you
the
dare correct me on my own show.
Milo the nerd, you know, who does like the hacking, like, I'm hacking. Oh, man.
Oh, I spilled something on you. Let me take care of your computer. While
here,
you're
have some cookies. And yeah. I love it. He's like, your mom's got me on this diet. And oh, my God, these cookies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So does his voice sound familiar?
No.
He's the voice of Michelangelo in the 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
So he's like, that's amazing. I mean, that's like one of the most iconic voices ever.
Yeah, because it was
the pizza
Corey
loving.
But before that, it was in the movie. It was.
Was it Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
No.
Corey Feldman did Michelangelo.
No way.
99% on that one.
That's cool.
Feel free to check it up.
Yeah. He was also Booger in the TV movie of Revenge of the Nerds in 91.
Sure.
And he's a big voice on Naruto. It's like a anime.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is. Yeah.
And also
my son watches that.
Did you watch Doc McStuffins?
Yeah.
He's
Doc McStuffins. Doc McStuffins.
He's Stuffy.
All right.
Is that main character?
Yeah.
Doc McStuffins?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, dude.
And he's also done the voice of a Transformer. So he's got some good voice acting work.
Cool.
Yeah. Michael Bowen, he's one of the favorites here. He's just really cool.
Uncle Jack is the best.
Yeah. So he's the half brother of Robert Carradine, who's Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yep.
He's the uncle of Martha Plimpton. So that's cool.
Little Goonies connection.
Yeah. You Goonie! Less Than Zero. Valley Girl, he's Tommy. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly Hills Cop 3, Jackie Brown, Magnolia. Kill Bill, he's Buck.
Oh, God, I always forget he's in Kill Bill, too.
Walking Tall, he's the sheriff before The Rock replaces him.
Walking Tall.
Yeah, and Django, he's in Django.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty cool career.
Yeah.
I like it. And like we said, Jan from The Office, Melora Hardin. She's one of those women that, like, you can see exactly who Jan is, you know, even though she's like 18 in this movie.
She is in a rare collection of people who is significantly better looking as a 40 or 50 year old than as a teen or 20 year old.
Yeah. No, I just watched the Steve Martin documentary, by the way. Incredible.
Oh, is it really good?
Mind blowing.
I've been seeing clips of it pop up. It looks like it's really good.
He's like
a lot of John Candy stuff, right?
Not so far.
Oh, okay.
But
the clips I saw were him talking about John Candy.
So he's good. I'm only in like 81 right now.
Okay.
But the way he went about comedy is the way like Bruce Springsteen writes songs. It's this methodical, like,
yeah,
he thinks about the philosophical agreement between him and the audience,
yeah,
and how he performed and how he just dropped. He was the biggest comedian in the world and he never performed again after 1980. He was just done.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. He's,
and but like
I love Steve Martin.
But like to bring it back to Jan, in his 20s, he doesn't look like a real person. You know what I mean? He looks like he's 40.
Yeah.
But then he grows into himself and he looks 40 for 50 years.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Steve Martin, does anyone hate Steve Martin? I think him and Jerry Seinfeld are the two.
No, people hate Jerry Seinfeld. You're crazy.
Okay. Oh, I meant
hate Jerry Seinfeld.
Interesting. Well, I meant their comedy was very like non-offensive to people.
No, but their personalities are offensive to people.
Oh, interesting.
Like, Jerry Seinfeld has been eating crap left and right recently. He's anti-woke. He also just is like people.
Well, then fine. Steve Martin on the mountaintop by himself.
That's how I feel. I love Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Can't say anything bad about him in my mind.
Favorite Steve Martin movie.
Oh, I love L.A. Story. That's why you have that or The Three Amigos.
Yeah.
Father of the Bride's up there, too, though.
Roxanne for me.
Oh, Roxanne's really good, too.
Yeah. Or The Jerk.
Oh, my God. There's so many good
ones. The Man with Two Brains.
Yeah.
Bowfinger is incredible.
It is really funny.
Awesome.
All right.
And finally, we got Chino Fats Williams, who's been in every movie.
Every 80s movie, 90s movie.
I did Fly in the Bluebird.
Yeah.
When Doug Masters does the voice of him, it's pretty funny.
I mean, Weird Science,
he's
Planes,
in,
Trains, and Automobiles, his voice, right?
Yeah, he's in Rocky 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Those are where we got to start.
Yep.
Terminator is the truck driver.
Yep.
Slappy in this. Wildcats, he's a pool hall guy.
That's right.
Weird Science, like you said, a bar patron. Jumpin' Jack Flash, he's a guard.
Yep.
Plane Strange.
Action Jackson.
He's Kid Sable. Hot to Trot. He's a messenger. And Roadhouse. He's the garage guy.
You hate Hot to Trot.
I
so
do.
Much.
I was, when we had our John Candy marathon, I was at the tail end. That's like the 89. I was like, I can't believe I have to finish with
that's
this.
That's right. Yeah. Bobcat Goldberg.
And I had to buy it. The last time I bought a movie.
I know.
Like,
it makes me so happy.
10 years ago.
For that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
Max, Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about it?
I'm so glad this exists.
Chappy.
Yeah. It's in its own, the B-movie, fighter jet movie.
Is it a B-movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, feels like a B movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like at the time, was Louis Gossett Jr. was the biggest name on the, I mean.
Yeah, but he would do movies like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
so they didn't really have like any A-list actors in this movie. So I guess it's a B movie, right?
I mean, it could have been one of those like Brat Pack starting to try to get these people together.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was the Crap Pack.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right, Max. With that being said, that means we have completed the episode on Iron Eagle, and it's time for us to hop on over to the Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. Max, this week's Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight is Christopher Murray, no relation to the Murray brothers, I assume.
Oh, I mean, if he...
The answer to that is no. There is no relation, Max.
My brain short-circuited.
Probably short-circuited.
I was like, maybe.
Tell us about Christopher Murray, Max.
He's got a podcast, Cinematic Anarchy. And you can find it on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Good Pods. And they're only on audio, but they're going to work on doing a Patreon to get up to YouTube and video stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Really nice guy. I met him online, and we just, movie podcast bros.
Yeah.
And we just hit it off, and he's just a cool dude.
Well, then let's hear what the cool dude had to say about Iron Eagle. By the way, in Cobra Kai, remember how he names his new dojo like Iron Claw or whatever?
Yeah.
Do you think like the iron is from Iron Eagle?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah. We'll go with that then. All right, let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, this is Chris from Cinematic Anarchy, otherwise known as El Jefe, and thank you once again, Mo and Max, for reaching out to us. Buzz in the Tower is one of my favorite podcasts. I listen to it throughout my work week.
Nice.
And I guess you're talking about Iron Eagle today. Honestly, one of my favorite Louis Gossett Jr. films right up there with Digstown. Digstown would be
Digstown,
a right below that, the entire Iron Eagle series. And if we're talking about favorite scenes throughout the film, one of my favorite scenes is when Colonel Sinclair first takes Doug up into the Falcon jet to sort of test how well he knows the jet, basically see what kind of skills he has. And of course, Doug being who he is, he has to play the music. He has to play the music the entire time because that keeps his rhythm. It keeps him on key. And Sinclair in the back is just, hey, turn that junk off. I don't want to hear any of that. And that first volley of strikes misses completely. And he's like, hey, man, look, I got to do this my way. He flips that 80s music back on, comes around for a second pass, and boom, 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 hits every single one of those targets. Honestly, one of my favorite scenes, him talking to Sinclair, basically saying, hey, man, I don't know how long it's been since the last time you ate, but, and then he does a couple of barrel rolls, a couple of hard turns, trying to get Sinclair to eject his lunch. Honestly, one of my favorite scenes in the entire film. This film in general is right up there. I turn it up to 11, like they would say in Spinal Tap. This, honestly, I can't really say enough about it. I love the film. Thank you once again for having us on. You guys are amazing.
I kind of feel bad how much I don't like this movie.
It's okay.
Because he likes it so much.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't hate this movie. I just don't. I can't bring the enthusiasm that he did to this film.
Yeah.
But I get it because I like a lot of crap. So I won't judge anybody else liking crap. Christopher, thank you again for coming on the show. Max, plug his podcast again, if you would.
Cinematic Anarchy.
Atta guy. Atta
Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Max, you sweet son of a gun.
Yeah.
Max, that wraps the show for today. A reminder to our listeners, please follow, subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcast player is. We're on it. Check us out on youtube.com/@buzzinthetower. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/@buzzinthetower. Just kidding. There's no at. Just Buzz in the Tower. Facebook, TikTok, social media, we're on it. Our tag is @BuzzInTheTower, website buzzinthetower.com, BuzzInTheTower, BuzzInTheTower. BuzzInTheTower?
BuzzInTheTower.
BuzzInTheTower. On that note, Max, good to be back in the studio recording, looking at your pretty face, and that closes out our Iron Eagle episode. How do you want to end this episode? What do you want to say?
You got the touch?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I really thought I was going to get a Chappy.
I already said it. Yeah.
You did already say
Chappy.
It.
Chappy.
Well, there's not a whole lot else that's really memorable about this film for me, so I'll just say I'll be your wingman anytime.
Anytime.
Anytime.